The Christians are to be a people of truth. I've named this this mess people of light from the passage we're going to read. But Christians are to be children of truth, dispelling the lies that are present in the world that keep people in darkness. That's what we are supposed to be, children of light, children of truth. And this is why Jesus said this in this passage of the Sermon on the Mount. It's verses 14 through 16 of chapter 5 of Matthew. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Darkness is defined as the absence of light. If you read up, look up in the dictionary, it says the absence or the lack of light. And in other words, light is something, and darkness is really nothing. It's really a nothing. It's just the absence of light. So there's no way to put darkness in a positive light without making it disappear. You know, you can't really, you cannot, like that poem says, the day is not at war with night. It's not like it's fighting it. It simply says, so long with light. Goodbye, light. Goodbye, darkness. Goodbye, nighttime. You're gone because I'm here. You are nothing. I'm showing up. And just so, confusion from a lie must go when truth tells it goodbye. And there is confusion that many times are in people's minds that keep them in darkness. But the truth, suddenly, is like a light that goes on. When you say, it's just like a light bulb went on in my mind. Is that... It's just like that. That's why we use so many illustrations. Why this poem is using the illustration of night and day, and we use so many cliches and so many idioms that use this idea of light to, about understanding the truth. Well, Robert Louis Stevenson, when he was about 6 years old, one night he was looking out of his window very quietly and watching the lamplighter go down the street and lighting the lamps. And his nurse thought he was up to some mischief because he was so quiet. What are you doing up there? I'm watching a man put holes in the darkness. You know, kids, they really say stuff that's really cruel. Because they say it in a way that catches our attention. Although, to us, that's like, yeah, there's a lot of darkness here, but that man's putting holes in the darkness. That is a very, very good description of what a Christian should be doing. Putting holes in the darkness. But what this passage is really saying is that we are being those holes in the darkness. We're supposed to be those holes in the darkness. And how do we do that? We do it with the light of God, because God is our light source. God is our source. To make holes in the darkness, we need a good light source. God is that source. We could not be making holes in the darkness if we did not have the light of God. And that's important. 1 John, which is a very familiar passage that I'm going to read, it's the first several verses in John, the first chapter of 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Salvation and our testimony, not just our salvation, but our testimony, are dependent upon light, God's light. Our connection to God, our relationship with God, our connection to God, is our connection to light, this passage says. Our connection to each other is our connection to light. And our effect upon darkness, our power to dispel darkness, to break it up and to put a hole in it, is our connection to light, our connection to the light of God. Now that might intimidate us a little bit when we hear Jesus tell us in this passage of Matthew, you are the light of the world. Us? We've got to do this? That's a little bit scary. That's a little bit intimidating. But it's a little helpful and encouraging to know that our source is God's Son. He is the light of the world. He's our source as the light of the world. But He's also our example. You see, as a human, now as God's Son, He is the light. But as a human, He is also the light as a human. He said, I am the light of the world. Why? Because He was reflecting His Father's light. That's what He said He was doing. He was reflecting His Father's light. That is our job to do too. Now, in the Gospel of John, several places Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John 12:46, He says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. You know, what that is saying is that faith in Christ brings us personally, individually, by our faith, out of the darkness. So that's the first step, to get out of the darkness through Christ. And then it says this in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And following Christ is not just for Him to keep the darkness, keep us out of the darkness, but it is to give us inside of our lives His light. We come to His light not just so that we can see what we're doing and that kind of thing. We do that. But we come to Him so that He can put His light inside of us. And this last verse in John 9:5, He says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But what happens when He leaves? Is that it? Is that all she wrote? You know? No, because His indwelling presence inside of us continues His ministry. Christ's ongoing ministry of light is through His people, and that is why we are the light of the world now. That's why He's saying this. Because, yes, He is the light of the world, but because He lives in us, we are the light of the world. Now, this makes perfect sense. This makes perfect sense if we begin to understand why the church is called the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. You know, I've often wondered, that's sort of a hard thing to understand. We're called the body of Christ, the physical presence, the physical body of Christ. But at the same time, we're also called the bride of Christ. Now, do those two things go together? Yes, they do, really well. If you'll understand this, you'll understand why this is so important, why Jesus is the light of the world and we are the light of the world. And here it is. Eve came out of a wound in Adam's side, right? And then God made her into a woman and brought her unto the man to be his wife. If you follow what I'm talking about, you think about Christ on the cross. From the wounded body of Christ came out the church. That's how the church came into being. And that church is part of His body, right? Just as Adam said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, came out of man. I mean, he's like, that's part of my body. But by matrimony, by marriage, put that into a one flesh relationship again. And that is why we're called the bride of Christ, because of our union with Christ. So whatever happens to Jesus, if Jesus is being persecuted, or if the church is being persecuted, Jesus says, I am being persecuted. See that when Paul was persecuting the church, and Jesus said, why do you persecute me? My body. One flesh. You see? Or when Jesus says, if you bless or fail to bless the least of these, my brethren, my brothers, you know, and he called the church his brethren, if you bless or fail to bless, then you fail to bless me. You see? And that is why Jesus can say, I am the light of the world. and you, my bride, are the light of the world. We are His bride. We are His body. So that sort of puts it together in another way of looking at it. Why we are the reflection of God's light, having Christ, being Christ's body upon this earth. Now, God's intention is for us to be His light source, but for a reason. God wants us to shine. He doesn't want to... This is the whole thing about this passage is about our visibility. It's not about our hiding. It's about His words are directly focused on the church being visible. And Jesus did not come to establish a secret society. That's not why He came. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's what He's talking about in this passage. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Persecution, as Terry's reading a lot about now in church history, persecution in church history shows how seriously Christians down through the ages have been about shining for God. Because they're a city set on a hill. They're not trying to hide away. They can't give the message out by hiding away. And God doesn't want our visibility, the visibility of His light in us, to be blocked, to be put under a bowl, as that passage says. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, or some people say put it under a basket. That's not what it's supposed to do. Now, there might be a reason at certain times they said in the old days they had a basket that they would carry the lamp in so they could carry without the wind blowing out the flame, because once it blows it out, you have to go back and get it relit. You don't have matches, you know. You have to find somebody with fire to get it relit again. So they use the basket. But when you got it into the house, if you kept it in the basket, what's the purpose? You don't want to put a bowl over the light. And some lights to block the light. He likes to put a bowl over it if he can. He uses false thinking to block out that light many times. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is called the god of this age, and it says, or the god of this world. The god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, most of you know, you heard my preaching a lot, that I'm big on logic. I'm big on logical arguments to defend the faith. I really am totally big. In fact, every day something in my mind goes on about that. I think that way. I think about all kinds of things that way, in that logical way. But I have to say that some people, you can give them the most logical explanation. You can even give them your testimony and say, this is what God has done for me, and they won't get it. They have something blocked, a spiritual block in their thinking. It's almost like a wall. And there's only one way to get that down. It's called spiritual warfare, and it's done by prayer and patience and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be, as the church, in prayer and in patience and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what this red is about. It's Pentecost season, and the church functions on the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, others might see the light. In other words, you know, that's an idiom. Ah, I've seen the light. You know, they get it. They understand it. They might understand it if our actions, who are the light, ones that are giving the light or supposed to be the light of the world, if our actions matched our message. If we do have the love that we're talking about manifested, if we've shown that love, and many times I've heard it again and again, I'll never become Christian. Why? Those hypocritical Christians that did this to me, and they've got a story. And they can't get that story out of their mind. That probably has gone into spiritual warfare. You really need to pray down a wall before you can even talk to them sometimes. But listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Come back to... This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, who are Christians, okay? Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. Why couldn't they let these people know about God? It's because their lives were such a bad testimony. We must live the light in order to be the light. We must live out the light. And this was what Jesus was getting at when he said in verse 16, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." God's light is what led us into salvation. If it shines from us, then it can lead others to finding Christ. But we must walk in the light as He is in the light, in order that those people can see Christ in us, and it might lead them, others, to find Him. It costs to do that. If we are the light of the world, and seeing His light leads others to Him, then we need to let our light shine, and it will cost us. It will cost us. Put it on its stand. Put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the place. You have to, first of all, you have to light the light, and then you have to put it on its stand. And we're going to talk about both of those. First of all, to light it. It costs to shine light. It wears the batteries out. Do you remember that time when I was preaching and the electricity all went off? There are windows in here. And all of a sudden, we were pitch dark darkness. And I went like this, turn this on, my nurse's light, you know, and I put it down like that and finished the message. But you know what? If I don't change these batteries once in a while, I could have done that and we would have still been in pitch darkness. Because it wears down. It's like when they used to light a lamp, they knew that they were going to burn olive oil. And it cost. It burned up the olive oil. When candles were invented, it burns up the wax. It doesn't matter. Kerosene, natural gas, electricity, how it's been down through the centuries. To get light, you use energy up. And it's going to cost people to be witnesses for God. It may cost their finances, it may cost their time, their effort, and sometimes it will cost relationships, because there are some people who do not want, they will go away from the light, maybe for those spiritual reasons we were talking about, and they need prayer for that. But what about the stand? Put it on its stand. It's not under the bowl, it's put on its stand. What is this stand it's talking about? What is the proper stand on which to place the lamp that we've lit? Now, some people have thought it's church, the church service, but it's not. It's the lives of the Christians in the church service, but it's their lives not just here, but it's their lives out all around in the world. Because when it says in this passage, everyone in the house, it's so that everyone in the house can have light. That everyone in the house is talking about everybody in this earthly house. This planet. They need the light. They need to have the darkness dispelled. We are not the light of the church. We are the light of the world. We're not supposed to keep... If we just kept our light in here, we would be keeping it in a bowl, under a bowl. We need to get our light out to shine it with others. Whatever that means personally, it might mean the idea of showing love in a specific way. It might mean what Terry is saying, maybe to be a witness, to speak up at a certain time when something is being discussed and you realize that you need to speak up for Jesus at that point. Well, when Robert Louis Stevenson grew up, he published A Garden of Verses. And you might remember this, but there was one of the poems that he wrote about a man named Leary, the lamplighter, that he used to watch when he was a little boy, lighting lamps. And in the middle stanza, he says this: "Now Tom would be a driver, and Maria go to sea, and my papa's a banker, and as rich as he can be. But I, when I am stronger, and can choose what I'm to do, oh, Leary, I'll go round at night and light the lamps with you." You know, is that our ambition? Is that our ambition, to go around and see how many holes we can make in the darkness? That should be our ambition. God is the real lamplighter. He is the real lamplighter. And He wants to shine His light in us, because we are the light of the world. We need to come to Him a lot of times to get relit, because Satan has our life. You know that song we used to sing? Satan wants to us out. I'm going to let it shine. Satan wants to it out, but I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I remember that from Sunday school. This little light of mine. That little light of mine is the light of God. And we are the vessels. We are the lamps. We need to be out wherever God takes us to put us on the stand so that that light can shine. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for that you are the light of the world. We also realize the responsibility you've given to us to be the light of the world because you live. Lord, might we let your light shine. If there are any bowls in our lives or any sins in our lives that are not matching what that light is to be, then I pray that you'll heal us, Lord. You'll take the bowl off. You'll take Satan's trying to block it away. And there's many people that we need to pray for who we just need to spend time in prayer and pray down those walls that are keeping the light from shining into their hearts. And I pray, Father God, that you might bless us as church, that we might be a light in this community, not just here in this service, but throughout the week, throughout the village. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.